Well, let's begin.
Welcome, Mr. Mike Hilper, to the program.
Thank you very much, Elaine.
Well, you know, I sent you out three questions, and to begin with, I would like you to tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself. Who is Bob, and what is your motivation for running?
My name is Mike Hilber, and my website is mikehilber.com. And I'll give you a short bio here. 60 years old, Roseland area native. I went to Cook Piner in the junior college. After that, UC Davis. I had an internship at Pacific Gas and Electric in San Francisco, where I got to work on the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant, which was under construction at the time. I got bachelor's and master's degree in engineering, and after that, I went to work in the defense industry in Southern California, and I bought a home there. After some time, I returned to Sonoma County for family reasons, and have since worked in surveying and regular construction, including the 101 freeway widening project and the San Francisco on the Transbay Terminal. And I also worked on a Tubbs Fire cleanup project for the project management firm.
Tell us a little bit, Bob. That's very interesting. So you worked on the fire. You were helping to clean up after that disaster.
Yeah, I went to almost every single burned property in the county, which is all over the place, all the way to the Napa County line and, you know, Franz Valley Road, Franz Valley School Road up in the hills. It was really interesting. I got to interact with the Army Corps of Engineers people inspecting and doing the, like, the soil sampling and testing and things like that.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Well, you know, what is your motivation for running? I mean, you're running against Linda Hopkins, who is a one-term supervisor. This is going to be her second term. What is your motivation? What has prompted you to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, mainly, the main motivation is I want to bring some more balance to the board and also fiscal reform. But as far as balance, what I see is Linda Hopkins is another one of the Sonoma County Alliance-backed candidates, which is a big money interest. And, you know, that's causing problems for this county. And I'll give you a couple examples. Like, for instance, when the Santa Rosa City Council brought up their rental inspection ordinance, that would help people who are living in substandard rentals by providing inspections once every 5 years. From the minutes of the meeting, the executive director of the Alliance urged a no vote on that matter. And the North Bay Organizing Project was on the opposite side. They urged a yes vote because they figured it would help the people who live in substandard rentals. Well, that ordinance got no votes from Sonoma County Alliance-aligned politicians like Dick Dowd, recently appointed. And I'm troubled by that because It tips the balance of political power in favor of the interests of the wealthy who own the rental properties. And I'll give you another example. The groundwater well tax that some of us are going to be paying with wells in this district, that's backed by both the Alliance and the wine industry. And essentially what that's about is they want us to subsidize commercial use of groundwater. And that's another example of how this plays out to the disadvantage of the people in this county.
It sounds like you have issues in the rural areas that maybe we don't have in the city. Would you agree with that, with the groundwaters and stuff like that? Or do you feel this is a city thing or a county
thing? Well, city uses groundwater too, so we're all involved in it. So it's just kind of shifting the cost to us. So if people want to learn more about me, I wish that they would you know, go to my website, mikehilber.com, and also read the Sonoma West article on me, which I figure is a, you know, well-written and laid out article describing my motivations and policy positions and things like that. The Press Democrat, on the other hand, they did a article that I found that I feel is inaccurate and unfair. So I would say I'd prefer to people look to the Sonoma West article for a reasonable and balanced assessment of, you know, why I'm running and what I'd like to do in office.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for running because you're absolutely an example of citizens getting involved. Whether you win or not, at least you get your points across, and that's very, very important. So let's go for our first question. This is one of the questions that you received. All the candidates are going to be asked the same exact question. Here we go. Question number one. We know we have a homeless problem in our county. Do you believe homelessness is a county problem and that the county is responsible to provide shelter and service for those individuals? Please explain your answer and conclude some of your ideas that you have to solve this very, very important issue.
Well, it's a huge problem, and it really impacts the neighborhoods. And since I live near the Joe Rodota Trail encampment, you know, I was acutely aware of all the complaints and from the neighbors and the fires being started and things like that. What I see going on is we have an awful lot of people, and we just need to, you know, deal with it in a more cost-effective fashion. It's very important that we get people off the streets. And in order to do that with limited funds, we just got to manage our money a whole lot better. In the case of this bike trail encampment, we had some 220 people camped out there along the trail. And they were cleared, but the only new facility created was the Los Willikas camp for only 60 people for 90 days at a cost of $2.2 million. Now, Linda Hopkins has told me that the cost, because they're a capital expenditure, so if you take $2.2 million and subtract off the $300,000 for the pallet shelters, I still figure that that camp out at Los Willikas is costing us about $350 per day per person to operate that. And that's just excessive. And also the fact that 220 people were cleared from the trail and only 60 places at this camp were created. Now, I would say that for that amount of money, we should have opened up an indoor shelter, a large, like a commercial building, and equip it with beds and locking storage and partitions between the beds. And we could probably have accommodated 200 people with a commercial or industrial space with that amount of money. And we'd got, you know, much more bang for the buck.
Well, it's a problem. It's a problem nationwide, but here in California, and I think it's because of the weather that we have more of a problem than most of the states across the United States. So, what is your idea then? You're saying to get a bigger facility. Like, what would you like to see happen?
Well, there's all sorts of negative comments being made about the Sam Jones shelter as being inappropriate, and a lot of people turn it down because it's a inhospitable place to go. And I'll grant you that it's too small and very crowded, and it's 200 people in a very small building. It looks to me to be something like 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. But an indoor shelter, if it's set up right and not cramped like that in a large building, like we've seen buildings on the market that or something like 22,000 square feet was suggested. There used to be an Amy's Kitchen processing facility. Now, that's a big open space in there, and it could be arranged so it'd be, just worlds better than the Sam Jones.
Well, that's some good ideas there. Let's go on to our second question here. Several cities, including the County Board of Supervisors, passed a climate emergency resolution. In fact, I've been working pretty much hard on that. They're actually going to be having a program. It's up to us on March 15th here, which I will talk about on my own program. But it's a real big issue around the climate emergency resolutions. And it seems like having something like that is a real strong action. But what are we going to do to implement it? So what are some of the ideas? Do you agree with the climate emergency resolution? And how do you feel, or what do you think that we should do in order to back it up to make sure these something happens, that we're actually addressing climate change here in this county?
Well, I've read the resolution, and it's rather vague, but let's look at it this way. Let's break it down. It's a two-pronged question. First is reducing greenhouse gases, and the second part is preparing for the effects of global warming, which is preparing for things like droughts and fires, which we've seen. And let me start with the second part first, because that seems more straightforward and conducive to a short answer. County fire services and emergency operations, I feel, are doing a good job of preparing for potential fires, because during the red flag warnings, they call for support ahead of time and stage in advance and get ready in case something does happen when we have these 50-mile-an-hour winds. And last time during the Kincaid fire, the alerts went out pretty well over the telephone, so I got one of those. But what I would like to suggest is helping people with brush clearing around their homes, and the way I'd like to do that is expand the wood chipper program, because people just can't afford professional services to clear brush, and they can cut the brush themselves, but then they end up with a big pile of brush, and unless you have a pickup truck to go and rent a big chipper machine, you're kind of stuck with your pile of brush. So I would suggest that instead of making it a free service with only one chipper, we start charging people maybe $100 for 2 hours of chipping, and that way we can get some money into the system and buy more chippers, because, the waiting list for use of the county chipping service is just too long. And I'd also like to ask, the PRMD and fire services to look into possibly developing a sprinkler system for outside homes to protect from embers landing on the home.
I like that idea, putting sprinklers. It reminds me when I worked for a company once, having a sprinkler system when a fire happened and it goes out immediately. And that has some consideration. Well, we're going to come into the last question. And, time goes by really quickly on this one. So if you can just give me just a quick answer on what your position is. There is an initiative that folks hope to get on the ballot in November. It's called the Evelyn Cheatham Ordinance to repeal and replace Article 27 of Sonoma County's Code, establishing the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. It's called IOLERO. The proposed ordinance would expand the oversight authority and independence of IOLERO to review and analyze complaints against the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, and would also include and expand the Community Advisory Council, which is called the CAC, which currently is appointed by the IOLERO director. At one point, it was directed by, they were appointed by the supervisors. Can you explain your position, what you think of that, and why?
Oh, yeah, I read that over, and primary aspect of it, it will increase the funding to be equal to, according to my memory, 1% of the sheriff's budget, which is certainly reasonable in my view, and it could lead to saving us some money if it could result in policy changes that would prevent lawsuits from use of force lawsuits and things like that.
Well, I kind of like the word oversight. I kind of consider it an oversight, something to look and to watch and to watch what's going on. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree that complaints, need to be independently reviewed, and that's a time-consuming process, and they need to hire more staff so they can get through the complaints in a timely fashion. And
well, thank you. Excellent, excellent answer to all your questions. Now we're going to go into the secret question. I love secret questions. And I'm really, I want you to know, I'm really very excited to have the opportunity to be able to interview you and to be able to give you a chance to explain a little bit to our listening audience, what some of your plans are. Well, here's the secret question. And this is also one of my pet peeves in a way. In talking with people, and I talked to about 12 people, did an in kind of survey to get the questions and to find out what are some of their concerns. And one of the biggest concerns is there's not enough contact with the members of the Board of Supervisors. And also there's time constraints, really very harsh time constraints are being put on the option where the public can speak for 3 minutes. I think now it's down to 2 minutes. What is your thought on that, and what do you believe believe should happen to give more access to the public, to the supervisors?
Well, I would like to have office hours like Lee Pierce, when he was on the city council, he held office hours when any constituent could meet at the city hall. And Chris Rogers is doing that now, and I've attended one of his office hour sessions on the weekend, which was well attended, and we covered a lot of good ground, and he got good feedback from people. So office hours with constituents is, I think, a really good idea. And I also don't like cutting back the public speaking time in the Board of Supervisors, because, you know, it used to always be 3 minutes, and now it's down to, I think, 2 generally, and sometimes they go to 1.5. So I would like to see it up to 3 minutes for public speaking.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and for this delightful interview. And any last words? Any last words you'd like to tell our listeners? Anything you'd like them really to know about you? I know you want them to get out there and vote for you. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to bring change to the way Board of Supervisors does business, and, you know, more fiscal restraint and more open government, and serve the people better. Thank you.
And thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you, Mike. And excuse me for mistaking your name. I mean, when you first start a show, you really get a little bit excited. It throws you a little bit off track. Well, our next candidate is going to be Linda Hopkins. And until she comes in, we're going to play our song called Vote. And then we'll be back with Linda Hopkins.
You don't want no tax. I know what's wrong. I'm gonna give you the facts. You got to vote. Everybody needs to vote. If you don't vote, you hurt yourself, and you can't blame nobody else. Now instead of staying home, watching TV down at the polls,